This is Pocket Docs. I'm Natalie Kestacher. In the last few weeks, I've been speaking to Australian writers about literary heroes who are both inspirational but problematic. Gabriel Toes is a young adult fiction writer who's been both inspired and repelled by the infamous Roald Dahl.
Troggle humpers, fizz wizards, scrumdiddlyumptious, snoz cumbers, snoz wangers. Ah, Roald Dahl, no one twists and contorts the English alphabet into filthy and fantastic new words like he did. I know I'm far from being the only person who has grown up reading Dahl novels into the wee hours. Charlie Bucket, Grandpa Joe and that magnificent chocolate factory. Little Matilda taking on the Trunchbull. A big, friendly giant. It's the stuff of my childhood. Probably yours too. Roald Dahl inspired me to read books for children and young adults, which inspired me to write books for children and young adults. I still look for a golden ticket every time I'm hoovering down a chocolate bar on deadline. As a kid, I was raised on a diet of meat and three veg, Friday night fish and chips, and Roald Dahl novels. I'd read them, reread them, and read them some more. Which is why my heart broke when I discovered Dahl had a number of questionable things in his past. I was late to learn of such things. By then, I was a published author myself. His past was already common knowledge for many. Simply search for Roald Dahl and Darkside and you're flooded with entries from the BBC, New Statesman and The New Yorker. As a small child, I hadn't given too much thought to the writer, the man behind the books. But when I say there were elements of Dahl's life that were dark, I mean they're the kind of things you can't unhear. You can't forget them. Let's rewind first. Dahl's childhood was filled with colour and tragedy. When he was three, his older sister died suddenly from appendicitis. Weeks later, his father passed away from pneumonia. And then the pain continued. Little Roald's nose was cut off in a car accident. Luckily, a doctor was able to sew it back on. Then off he went to boarding school, no doubt inspiration for many of his books involving horrible teachers and children with big dreams and obstacles to overcome. His larger-than-life experiences throughout his childhood and career were quite the backdrop, the inspiration for larger-than-life books. In World War II, he was a spy, an actual spy, and a promising pilot. But then he crashed his plane in the Libyan desert on his first day of flying. Later he claimed, well, allegedly lied, he'd been shot down. Okay, you're thinking. Taking out a plane on your first day at work is out there. Let's go again, though. Dahl had all his teeth removed, by choice, when he was 21 years old, describing them as more trouble than they were worth. Instead, he wore dentures. For my 21st, I had a nice dinner out with my family, then hit the pub, but each to their own. The strange choices, morbidity, and misfortune continued well into his adult life. There was an injured baby, the death of a daughter, a wife falling into a coma. It's awful, horrible, the kind of stuff you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. Then, in addition to all these accidents and bad luck, there was this previously mentioned dark side. And I'm not talking about the force variety. This is what I've struggled with the most. Hearing rumours about the real Dahl, beyond the BFG, giant peaches and gobblefunk language, was like a scab to me. There was something lurking beneath the surface, something off, something sickening. But I've never been the type to pick scabs. This was my childhood writing hero, the writer who has inspired millions, the writer who inspired me to pursue my writing career. So I ignored it, pretended it didn't exist, until I couldn't. I picked the scab. I would rather be dead than fat, Dahl once told an ex-wife. That one caught my attention. There was more. Dahl was a serial adulterer. There were reportedly lots of little flings, as well as a 10-year relationship with someone else on the side. When his daughter Tessa confronted him with evidence that he was cheating on her mum, his first wife Patricia Neal, he told her, "Get out of my house. I don't have any energy left for little bitches like you." In the original draft of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Dahl had written the Oompa Loompas as black pygmies from Africa. There was outrage. Of course there was. A few major edits later and they became the fantastical Oompa Loompas that we know today in a later edition of the book. Apparently edits were needed in the BFG and Matilda too. Hey, I'm a writer. I know, editing's part of the process. My early drafts look like a red pen attacked them. But this wasn't to tighten voice, story, pace, or grammar. Editors were called in to wipe out racist and sexist comments or characterisations. And did you know he was anti-Semitic? I don't want to tell you the next part. It's also full of hate, but it shows the true depths of his darkness. Dahl said, "There is a trait in the Jewish character that does provoke animosity. Maybe it's a kind of lack of generosity towards non-Jews. I mean, there is always a reason why anti-anything crops up anywhere. Even a stinker like Hitler didn't just pick on them for no reason." He also described Jewish people as submissive for what happened in the gas chambers. How can this be the same man who wrote in fiction, "You can have a wonky nose and a crooked mouth and a double chin and stick out teeth, but if you have good thoughts, they will shine out of your face like sunbeams and you will always look lovely." Swing past Instagram, Pinterest, or any of those time-sucking places, and people are posting that quote, holding him up as a positive role model, unaware of this darker character, just like I had been. Sometimes I just want to live in a naive bubble, go back to before I knew, and think about Dahl in that innocent way. Love him for his quirks, like the fact he adored chocolate, but not chocolate cake or chocolate ice cream. Although what's up with that? Chocolate cake is everything. His last words are even memorable. "Ow, fuck." Apparently. Even in death, his words are surprising, funny, remembered. I read somewhere that in everything good, there is something bad, and I suppose that's true in many ways. But who decides what constitutes too bad? And can the good within outweigh the bad within? You can probably hear that I have an angel and a devil sitting on my shoulders right now, telling me different things about this man, how I should feel now that I know. Felicity, Dahl's second wife and widow, talks about him with love, sadness, and respect. Because he did good things too. He even helped invent a cerebral shunt, and thousands of children around the world benefited from that. And his personal life doesn't change the fact he wrote incredible children's books, books that inspired a love of reading and imagination, and a new generation of storytellers. I'm still confused about how to feel about this problematic, froth-bugging, fizz-whizzing, jumbly human being. But the truth is, despite everything, all the ways in which his values have gone against mine, I'll still keep reading his books. Because those creations of his, they're magic. And then a few pages in, I might remember the more unpleasant elements of his personal life and feel strange all over again. And then I'll read another page and get lost in the magic, and I'll forget about the writer behind the words for a moment. I'll be lost in his perfect creations, his stories, because if there's one thing Dahl can do, it's write magnificent literature that hooks both children and adults. Recently, the world celebrated 100 years since Roald Dahl was born. For many, he remains purely a literary genius who changed the world. For others, a racist, a liar, misogynist. And then to some, including me, he's a problematic hero filled with lightness and darkness in equal measures. Despite my confusion, the parts of Dahl that I choose to carry with me remain this: his love of the written word, his wild and wonderful imagination, and lastly, the fact that in his books for children, goodness and kindness prevail, and the light does win out in the end.
Gabriel Tozer, with sound by Russell Stapleton.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell. Media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.